Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want you then to find verse number 2. Mark chapter 5. Find verse 2. Once you've found it, if you would stand with me, please. Mark chapter 5. Verse 2. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this. When he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, but that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now drop down to verse 15. The Bible says, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion setting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us. God, do not let my voice hinder the Holy Spirit or hinder the people. God, uniquely use it as a part of tonight's success. Help us to not just come to church and get it over with and go home. Help us to shut out the rest of the world and do something unique, spectacular, and supernatural in the next few minutes. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'm not sure what just happened, but can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. David, I'm sorry, but the monitors just changed just completely. So if we change something, okay, let's leave it right there. A man in this scripture who lives in a graveyard meets Jesus. Maybe that man lived in a shack that he had built with sticks, maybe with trash from the city, maybe in describing it from our day and age, maybe there were a couple of grave markers near one another. He could use those as parts of the little room in which he had built, but he lived at the graveyard. This man, he was wild. He was unsaved, and he was wild. Chains could not hold the man because he had an unclean spirit. And so you know, any unsaved person has an unclean spirit. He was often bound with chains, the Bible says, but they could not hold him. He had a very evil power about him. So he had been unsuccessfully bound with fetters. You say, what's a fetter? A fetter would have been like handcuffs, but they would have been shackled around the ankles. But they had shackled him with these fetters, and he broke them. He'd broken chains. He'd broken them to pieces. The Bible says no man could tame him, which means some man or men tried to tame him. Your imagination would have to do the rest of the work. He was like an animal, frothing at the mouth. Picture a lion tamer or a horse trainer trying to bring into submission a beast. That's this man. That's the picture that's being drawn of this man. A wild beast trapped in a room, smashing itself against the walls. Night and day, the Bible teaches, in that graveyard, howling like a mongrel at the moon. The Bible says he would take sharp stones and cut himself. There was dry blood, scabs, bruises, scars all over the beast's body. The sad thing was, no clothing, running wild, dirty, filthy, a mongrel, bloody, beast of a man, long fingernails to the point they're curled and yellowed and caked with blood. worse than the worst street person you've ever seen. He meets Jesus. And nobody has ever met Jesus without some type of change taking place. The worst of the worst has met the best of the best. And the next thing you know, this mongrel of a man gets saved. And in Mark chapter 5, verse number 15, it says, the very next thing you know, he is setting. He was clothed, not only physically clothed, but now he is dressed in the cloak of God's righteousness spiritually. He was clean. He was in his right mind. He was listening to Jesus. Let me tell you, the further away from Jesus you get, the less you listen. The further away you get, the more nudity in your life. That's just the scripture. He was no longer bound by fetters, chains, or ropes, but now he's bound by redeeming love. What the animal tamer could not do, the tenderness of Jesus Christ has now done. The lion is now a lamb. And then he was going to go home. This is how I picture it. I picture this wild man leaving the cemetery. Nobody knows what's happened. He goes into a town where he has probably been banned. You say, what makes you think that? Why would anybody be living in the graveyard if they could go to the town? He goes into town. You watch children run to their homes, scared to death. They're afraid. They know who that guy is. He's terrorized. They've heard him howl at the moon. They watched him as their parents said, that man is immodest and he's terribly undressed. Oh my, stay away from him. Dads would say to their daughters, stay away from that. Stay away. That's bad. Moms would grab their babies and run up the street and hide when they'd ever see this man. Now he's walking into town. He's going down Main Street. Shopkeepers are closing their doors, pulling the blinds, and locking the doors. He finally gets to the residential area. He looks down and realizes it's one block down in the second house on the right. That's where his wife and his children live. He's not been able to be there for a long time. A restraining order, you see. But he decided today he needed to go and just spend a moment. He walks down there, one block down, starts walking. He finds his house. Suddenly, one of his children screams, Mama! Mama! It's him! Mom looks out and says, come to me! Come to me! They run up on the porch. They run in, slam the door, lock it with the bolt lock, put the chain on it, scoot a chair in front of it. Down come the blinds, the windows. And she says, go in the back room and hide in the closet like I've taught you. He gets to the door and he knocks. She says nothing. She hopes he'll go away. Finally, she says, go away. Go away. You've hurt us enough. We don't want you here. Go away. Don't hurt us anymore. You're not supposed to be here. And he said, please, would you open the door just a little? I need to tell you something. She said, please go away. Go away. He said, give me 10 seconds. And somehow she decided she would open the door. She didn't take the chain lock off. She slid that bolt lock off, kept her foot by the door, moved the piece of furniture, and opened the door about that wide, about 3 inches. She looked out and he said, please, please. I just needed to come and tell you. Today, I met a man. His name was Jesus. And today, I ask him to come into my heart and save me. I'm just here to tell you I'm a new man. I'm a new man. She looked out, looked into his eyes that used to be bloodshot, full of anger and hate and filth. She looked into his eyes and she seen a calm and a peace and a tenderness. And she said, "Tell me again what happened." He said, "I was in the graveyard and a man walked through and he didn't run from me. And he asked if he could speak a word or two to me. And I listened. And he told me of a place that's called heaven. And he told me that he knew how to help me. And I said, 'Sir, help me.' And he did." She said, "Would you like to come in?" He said, "May I?" He stepped in. He looked back and the kids were looking around the corner of their bedroom at where they had been hiding. They wouldn't budge. The mama turned and said, "Children, come on. It looks like you have a new daddy." Wow. The lion was now a lamb. What a story. That happened. I was working on staff of the church where I worked for many, many years. And someone at the Bible college that we hosted at our church called me one day. And they were getting ready to hire someone to work at our Bible college. And they called me. My secretary received the first phone call. And the secretary rang over to my office and said, "Brother Owens, Belinda is on the line here. She'd like to talk to you for a second." And I said, "Sure." So I began to talk to this lady. And she said this. She said, "Brother Owens, I'm getting ready to hire someone here at the college. And preacher said, before I could hire anybody, I should really get a hold of you and talk to you, get your opinion about this, and see something. We need to know a little more about this person. And we're told that you know this person quite well." They gave me the name, and I said, "Absolutely, I do know them." And here's the question she asked. She said, "Brother Owens, do they come to church? And faithfully?" I said, "They do." She said, "Would you reckon that they give to the church like they should?" I said, "I think they do." Said, "Is this a person that abstains from bad practices? You know, drinking, cussing, smoking, chewing, things like that." I said, "Oh yes, I'm sure of that." Said, "Is this person a hard worker?" I said, "Oh yes, they're a hard worker." The next question startled me. The next question is the question on which this entire sermon is based. Then she said, "Brother Owens, is this person a life changer?" I had the phone up to my ear. I never heard that question before. I said, "Ma'am, would you please ask me that question again?" She said, "Does this person change the lives of people?" I got a little anxiety, got a little panic in myself. And the Lord said, "Tell the truth." I said, "Ma'am, the answer's no." She said, "Then I guess we won't be hiring them." And we hung up. Let me ask you a question. Would have we hired you? Are you a life changer? I want so desperately in the next few minutes for you to listen to me. I don't like looking at church and saying, "Oh, just another service. No service to me is just another service. The question is very personal. Are you a life changer? Earlier, I said, I'm going to tell you what I think the purest purpose for education is. You think it's so you can make money and get things. I think the purest education on the face of the earth is one person learning to help another person to succeed in life. Are you a life changer? You might say, well, Brother Owens, man can't change lives. Okay, then let me put it this way. Is God using you to change the lives of people? God saved you and left you here so you could help people. Now, stay with me. I'm actually going to give you some thoughts about this idea. Are you a life changer? Number one, we should all want to be life changers. Everybody ought to want to be a life changer. For you to say, I have no interest in being a life changer, makes you totally self-centered. That means your life is totally about one person, you. And the emptiest you'll ever find yourself in life is when the only person you're interested in is you. Matter of fact, that's the worst company you could keep. Now, we all ought to want to be life changers. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, the last part of the verse says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Jesus was walking up the road. There are some people that were walking up the road. And these people met Jesus and had been with Jesus. The Bible says there was no doubt some people met some other people and said, I can tell who you've been with. Can I tell you something? If you've been with Jesus, we will know. And if you haven't, we'll know. Would people meet you and say, wow, I know who you've been with? You say, what's so important about that? Whoever you spend a lot of time with is who you'll become like. You spend a lot of time with Jesus, that's who you're going to become like. Who's the ultimate life changer? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus was a life changer. If you don't believe me, ask the maniac of Gadara. Jesus was a life changer. If you don't believe me, ask his little wife that thought that their marriage was doomed. Who one day God reached in and miraculously took holy matrimony to its highest level and saved a marriage. And some children that cried themselves to sleep at night because daddy couldn't live at home. But now Jesus changed the life of daddy. And the children have a daddy to tuck them into bed at night. If you don't believe Jesus was a life changer, ask the woman at the well. If you don't believe Jesus was a life changer, ask the blind man who suddenly came seeing as clear as day. If you don't believe Jesus was a life changer, ask Zacchaeus, who came down out of a tree and got born again. You're supposed to be like Jesus. You know, there's some things about Jesus we're probably glad that we can't be like because it takes too much out of us. But I got news for you. I'll tell you one area you're to be like Christ. You're to help people. You are to be changing the lives of people. And if you're not, there's no need for you to be alive. Might as well go on to heaven where you can't booger up the rest of your life. Do people change for the better because of you? Do you change lives for the better? I need to apologize. Everybody here is a life changer. You're changing them one way or another. Everybody in this church, everybody. And look up here at me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't play with your phone tonight. You'll be in a lot of trouble with me. You listen. You're either changing the lives of the people in this church for the better, or they're getting worse because of you. You're either one or the other. They're either learning to be unfaithful by watching you or learning to be faithful by watching you. They're either learning separation by watching you or learning not to be separated by watching you. Everybody is a life changer. Hey, listen. Can anybody look at you and say, she changed my life in a miraculous way for God? Can anybody say of you, sir, teenager, could anybody say, that person right there, that man right there, he changed my life? The maniac of Gadara went home and said, today my life was changed. It's not just the job of the pastor to want to influence and change lives. It's the job of Christians. Would have you been hired for the job opening? Hey, let me tell you something. In the realm of church work, there's always an opening for life changers. You say, I'm real smart. Whoop-de-doo. Are you a life changer? I've got degrees. I'm not impressed. I know people that have more degrees than a thermometer has. But they're worthless. It's a part of their vanity. It's a part of what they are and what they have accomplished. We are not to be educated to show off. You're to be educated to use it to help people. Would you have been hired? I went to Bible college. So what? That doesn't impress me in the slightest. I would rather have somebody in the church that had not gone to Bible college but was changing lives than somebody that went to Bible college that was worthless because they don't know how to change the life of a person. What's more important than the life of a person? Hey, I'm not asking you if you had fun with somebody. Did you change their life? I'm not asking you if you spent some time with somebody. Did you change their life? I'm not asking if you preached to them. Did you change their life? See, some preachers are in it to change lives. Some are in it to preach good sermons. Two differences. Two totally different things. I'm not asking if you sat down with someone. No, did you change your life? I'm not asking if you shook their hand. Are you a life changer? I'm not asking if they spoke to you, or you spoke with them, or you ate with them. Did you change their life? I'm not asking if you shuffled some papers. You could be the best paper shuffler in the world. Did you change their life? When I look for leadership in the church, you know what I'm looking for? I'm not looking for your talent. You're dealing probably with a bit different creature as your pastor. I'm not looking for your education or your money. I'm looking for people that care about people that will help change lives. That's what I'm looking for. You say, I can do all the mechanical stuff in the world. What about people? People! People! Isn't that what this is all about? I'm not asking you if you're a father. Are you a life changer? There are dads that spend years, 18 years in the same home with their kids. Their kids would not say, my dad really made an impact on me. Their kids, it would say, my dad about ruined me. They say it of their mothers. Are you a life changer? I'm not asking if you're a mother. There's some mothers that are almost worthless. Some of you know. Are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you're a teacher. I had all sorts of teachers that didn't influence my life. Are you a life changer? I'm not asking if you're a preacher. Are you a life changer? Hey, I'm not asking if you're a bus captain. Are you a life changer? I'm not asking if you're a bus worker. Are you a life changer? I'm not asking if you're a Christian. Are you a life changer? People's lives are more important than gold, than fame, than wealth, and position. In the average church, people walk in off the street, walk in, sit down in the pew, and walk out, and their life has not been changed one little bit. And that is an indictment against the Christianity the churches and the preachers of this day. We're more interested in the offering, the accolades, than we are the lives of people. Well, phooey on all the rest of it. Let's change lives for God. Let me tell you something. You can't stop. You take a group in a church, get them on the right path to where it's all about helping people, loving God and helping people. You will spark a revival that the world does not know what to do with. So, point number one, we should all be life changers. Point number two, to become a life changer, you gotta want to be a life changer. To be a life changer, you gotta want to be. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The Lord said, get out there and help people. But folks, you've got to want to be a life changer. Life changers, they want to change lives. They want to make a difference. And I'm not asking you if you want the benefits of a life changer. You know, I asked the question earlier, could someone point to you and say, that person right there, they changed my life. They revolutionized my life for the better. You know, there are some that would say, wow, I'd like someone to say that about me. I'm not asking you if you want the benefits. I'm asking you if you want to be a life changer. Look, if there were no benefits at all, you ought to still want to be a life changer. Here's the question. Do you want to be a life changer? I would like for you to answer that question in the privacy of your heart. Do you want to be a life changer? If you're going to ignore it and not answer it, the answer is no. So right now, between you and God, answer the question. Do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking if you want to be a leader. Do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you want a position as a bus captain. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you'd like to be an evangelist someday. Do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you want to win a competition or prize down at the church. Do you want to be a life changer? Hey, I'm not asking you if you want to sing in the choir. You know what we need? We need a choir full of life changers. They'll sing from the heart. They'll sing with passion. They'll show up for practice. They'll do, hey, if you're singing in the choir out of your vanity, you're in it for the wrong reason. You got to be standing up here to be a blessing to God's people, and changing lives is what it's all about. Hey, I'm not asking you if you want to work with the youth. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking if you want to be a deacon. You want to be a life changer. I'm not asking if you want to be a Sunday school teacher. Do you want to be a life changer? Hey, I don't want to know if you want to be a junior church worker. I want to know, do you want to be a life changer? I don't want to know if you want to be a primary church worker. Do you want to be a life changer? It doesn't matter to me. Hey, you want to help in one of the choirs? No. That's not what this is all about. That's not what this organization's all about. You say, no, preacher, it's about the choirs and the buses and the classes. It's about people. That's what it's about. Don't take your eyes off of that. It's about people. People. Hey, people are more important than the chairs. People are more important than the vehicles. People are more important than the restrooms. People. That's who Jesus died for. Hey, I'm not asking you if you want to sing a special. Do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you want to be an usher. Do you want to be a life changer? You say, preacher, and folks, I got to tell you something. I have people all over the place constantly saying to me, boy, when you're ready to start hiring staff down there at your church, keep me in mind. You say, oh, pastor, I was thinking the same thing. I deal with that a lot. I'm not looking for staff members. I'm looking for life changers. Say, why? That's what staff people do. You say, I'm good with papers. Fine. go find you a room and play with papers. Folks, everybody ought to be a life changer. But to be a life changer, you have to want to be a life changer. Now listen, if you're not a life changer, the reason you're not a life changer is because you don't want to be. God is looking for people to want to be life changers. The ministry to me is not an occupational choice. It is life or death. You say, preacher, you take things so seriously and everything's big and everything's important. It's about doing right by people for God's sake. Why shouldn't it be important? God is looking for people that want to be life changers. See, God looks down from heaven. He's looking for a preacher. He's looking for people. He's looking for churches that are in it for the right reason. When He finds those places, He said, watch what I can do. Watch what I can do. Hey, folks, the greatest thing you could do in this life is to change a life for Jesus Christ. But you have got to want that. You've got to want to be a life changer. Serving God is not to be a game. We're not here to make money. Money is a byproduct. Money is a means to an end. Say, I've got a job. I know you have to have a job to pay your bills. But if your life is all about your job, you're goofed up. Your life is supposed to be all about making an impact on this lost and dying world. And you go to work and virtually, happily tolerate it so you can go out and change lives. That's why God saved you and left you here. He didn't leave you here so you could show off and show us how much money you can make and all the rest of it. He left you here so He could train you to change lives. You know something? This lesson could change your attitude towards your Christianity and your ministry for the rest of your life. When I hired bus mechanics, you know what I looked for? I didn't necessarily have to have a good mechanic. I had to have somebody that cared about people. I could teach them to crank a wrench. You're going to hire the fastest typer? Oh, no. I'll hire somebody that cares about people. Singers, be a life changer. So, everybody ought to be a life changer. Secondly, you got to want to be a life changer if you're going to be a life changer. Thirdly, a life changer has themselves experienced a changed life. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only. You remember back at the beginning, the story that I told, that prospective employee. Now that prospective employee had a changed life. Remember, they came to church. They tithed. They were hard workers. Now they had not stepped up for what all of that is to produce. All those good things about you is not just to make you a goody two-shoes. It's to qualify you for the most important work that a human being can do. Get people saved and change their life. But that's a prospective employee. How to change life. See, everybody's supposed to be a life changer, but to be a life changer, you got to want to be. But nobody's ever wanted to be a life changer unless they have personally had a changed life. The reason you don't want to be a life changer is because your life has not changed. You have not changed your life enough to be conformed to Christ's image. Because if you were conformed to His image, you'd want to be a life changer. The minute you're like Jesus, you'll be touching lives everywhere you go. You'll be wanting to help the spiritually blind gain their sight. You'll be wanting to help the spiritual cripple take a walk. You're going to want to take the spiritually hungry and feed them a steak. You're going to want to help the blind man be able to see. But if you're living your life just glancing off at the needs of people and going to a church where you say, I want a church where lives are being changed, but you're watching. You watch the invitation, but never participate. You watch someone teach Sunday school, but never teach. You watch people bring visitors, but never bring any yourself. You watch people win souls, but you never win any yourself. Well, then you're not a life changer. But you like watching it, don't you? You say, what's the problem? Your life's not changed enough. See, if your life had changed enough, you would want to be a life changer, which then qualifies you to be a life changer. Many of you, you've been around Christianity for a while. If I right now said to you, some of you seasoned veterans, if I said to you, tell me some of your great preachers of the past that you like to hear preach, you'd say, Lester Roloff. How many of you know who Lester Roloff is? You know what the most powerful part of Lester Roloff's ministry was? Yes, sir. He was a life changer. Yes, sir. That's what made him unique. You'd say, Oliver B. Green. How many of you know who Oliver B. Green is? You're... You know what made Oliver B. Green what he was? He took the Bible and he changed lives with it. Dr. Jack Hiles. And have you ever heard of Dr. Hiles? Let me tell you something. You talk about a life changer. You admire it. You know it's out there. But look, if you don't want to be a life changer, then you've not had enough change of life yourself. See, if you're not a life changer, you need to change your life. This message could change your life forever. I remember the day that I caught on to what Christianity really was. Two things. Getting close to God and loving God and doing right by God and then people. You ever heard preachers that you walk in and you walk out and you really can't remember what they said? The fly bothering the old lady in front of you was more interesting than the sermon. Now, if there's a fly in here and it's been bothering the old lady in front of you and you're paying attention to that instead of me, I guess I'm guilty. I've been around some of the greatest preachers of this generation and the last. And I know one thing, one common denominator in regard to their approach to life. They were out to change the lives of people. Hey, are you tired of just going through the motions? Sunday school teacher, bus worker, bus captain. See, everybody ought to be a life changer. The only way you're going to be a life changer is if you want to be. And if you don't want to be, and if you're not, it's because you've not changed your life enough. So, number four, to get a changed life, you got to want a changed life. We started where we're going. We seem to be working our way backwards. See, you say, yeah, I see this thing, a changed life. That's key. But see, if you want a changed life, you're going to have to want it, and you're going to have to do something about it. Romans 12:1 says we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. See, to get that changed life, you got to want to change life. And I'll just be candid, straightforward. There are people under the sound of my voice. You don't want to change life. You want to stay right where you're at. Better yet, some of you don't even want to be where you're at. You're higher on the spiritual chart than what you really want to be. You feel like there's being more required of you of God, mom, dad, husband, wife, preacher, your Christian society. There's more required of you than what you really want to pay. I tell you, you will get a changed life when you decide you want a changed life. Some have decided, I don't want to grow anymore. You know, every once in a while, a sermon needs to come along and knock us off of our holy high horse. If you're not changing lives, your life has not changed like it should. You're too big for your own spiritual britches or skirt, whichever the case may be. Are you passionate about changing your life? If you'll become passionate about changing your life, you could then become passionate about wanting to change another life. But look, if you don't want to change yours, why would you care about anybody else's? You say, why do you feel that way? Because we're so self-centered. If we don't care about ourselves, we're not going to care about somebody else. Are you willing to get this? Are you willing to say this to God? God, I will change anything about me. I will give up anything in life if you will help me to become a life changer. Now, again, let's just have a moment of mental meditation. Here's the question. Are you willing to say to God, I will change anything. I will give up anything to become a life changer. There's some people in here, they've already said no. To those of you that say no, those of you that say maybe, just so you know, you're missing the ultimate purpose of life. See, we have enough so-called leaders in the church. I'm almost sick up to here with leaders. You know what we need? Life changers. Life changers. You'd give up your rock and roll music that will rot your brains out if you wanted to be a life changer. Here's where some of you are making a mistake. There are actually people in here, you used to change lives, but you don't anymore. And I'll promise you, you stopped changing lives because you started going backwards in your Christianity. You're going to do what you want to do instead of helping people and changing lives for the better. You know, let me give you a cause. Some of you say, I've got a vice or two. I've got a problem or two. I've got some sins in my life I'd really like to give up. Let me tell you how to give them up. Get a cause that's bigger than yourself. Say, God, I want you to change my life so I can go change somebody else's life. God, give me strength to conquer myself. And if I can conquer myself, it will help me to have a passion to help somebody else conquer themselves. God will step in and help. A pastor asked me this question not many days ago. He said, Brother Owens, what do you sense that old-time fundamentalism needs more than anything right now? I said this. It needs a revival of passion for changing the lives of people. So, here's what I've said, and we're almost done. Number one, everybody ought to be a life changer. Number two, to become a life changer, you got to want to be a life changer. Number three, a life changer is someone who has had a changed life. Number four, to get a changed life, you've got to want a changed life. Number five, there's two things that make a changed life. One, as a Christian, it's a passion to get your life totally changed and rearranged so you're usable by God to change lives. Number two, you got to get saved. The greatest change of life is salvation. Now, you know what the step, one step backwards is? To get saved, you got to want to be. You got to want to be saved to get saved. You got to want to change your life to get a changed life. You got to want to be a life changer to become a life changer. Oh, I just had a flood of stories come to my mind. A couple young men in Chicago, they were rock and rollers. And to be honest, as rock and roll goes, they were good at what they did. They were very good at what they did. Back in the era with long hair, these were adult men, bar hopping, playboys, known all over the Chicago area for their music. And I remember, I got to meet them. Boy, I have to tell you, these guys, they were playboys to the hilt. And I believe they probably would have hit the charts and they would have gone big in the world of rock and roll. I told them about Jesus. They were brothers. One got saved. Told the other one about Jesus. He got saved. I watched them a few months later put their electric guitars down. Watched them cut their hair. I couldn't even begin to tell you what I watched. I watched their life transformed. They did not live in a graveyard prior to salvation, but they might as well have. And I'll never forget the day watching them walk down the aisle, ushering at the church. I watched them take their talents, go around the country, helping people to build PA systems for their churches. Just amazing. One night it occurred to me, as I had taken them to Chicago to a place called the Gospel League Home for Women. It's a ladies' division of a famous place called the Pacific Garden Mission. All these street people, all these nasty people. And I looked over, and I seen two brothers on their knees at the altar at the Gospel League Home for Women with their Bibles out, winning some wild people to the Lord. And I thought, from the graveyard to working the altar, what happened? God changed their life, and they have now become life changers. Tell you one more story, and I wish I had all night. I wish all night I could show you the power of God and what He can do. There was a man by the name of Victor Wilson. I was soul winning one day at a hotel. It was the kind of hotel that was having a pretty hard time getting clients to check in overnight, so they started renting their rooms out for monthly rates. People that didn't have much money could rent them and live there. Started knocking on the doors. Well, I remember a fella came to the door, and man, was he rough. Curly, long, shaggy hair. Mean as he could be. Cowboy boots on with brass toes, pointed. I took my Bible, and I showed Victor how to be saved. And he very sweetly got saved. Just an amazing thing. A process that he went through. I remember about 2 years later, he had not been to church for a service or two. And I went and knocked on his door there at the hotel. And nobody came to the door. And I knocked again. Nobody came to the door. I went and got the manager. I said, "Have you seen Victor?" He said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Let me bump the door open." He did. And Victor was lying dead on his bed. Had his Bible on his chest. And he was gone. I did his funeral. I was sitting there with his mother. I said, "Tell me some things about Victor." She said, "Which Victor?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "The Victor before or after Jesus." I said, "Tell me a little bit about the Victor before." She said, "Well, he was a drunk. He was a fighting trucker. just go places and start fights, barroom brawler. She said, she pulled her sleeves up. She said, you see these scars all over my body? The victor before Jesus set me on fire. She said, Pastor, 2 days before we found Victor dead, I was riding in the car with him, which I never dreamed I would do again after he tried to take my life. So we were riding up the road in his pickup truck. And he was singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? She said. He sang, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'll never forget doing the funeral for old Victor. There was a victor before Jesus and a victor after Jesus. He'd become an usher in the church. He'd become a church bus driver. He'd become a soul winner. Now, folks, that is exactly what your life as a Christian is supposed to be all about. I pray this prayer every day. I say, Lord, if there comes a day when you can't use me anymore, just kill me and take me to heaven. I don't want to waste my life down here in this mess unless it's for your cause. Which to me, in my opinion, and I think scripturally, means if the day comes when I can't touch the lives of people anymore, I just want transferred to where there are no lives that need to be changed. But until then, I'm supposed to change lives. My phone rang. I picked it up. I said, sure, I'll talk to her. And she said, hey, is this person separated? I said, yeah. Good attendance? Yeah. Sunday school teacher? I said, sure. Nice person? I said, yeah. Comes in, oh yeah. Comes to church, sure. Now what? A life changer? Hey, look right at me. I've got Jesus on the line. Yeah, they're here. Yeah. You want to know? Is he a life changer? You want to know if she's a life changer? Can you help me out? What should I tell him? You want me to be honest? Oh yeah, they come to church. Could I at least tell him you're working on it? Could I at least tell him to give you a chance to actually become what a Christian's supposed to become? You don't clean yourself up so you can flaunt it. God cleans you up to use you. Lord, I think you have their attention. If they're not, I think they're going to be working on it. There might be one here that doesn't really care. Be merciful. Don't be too hard on them. Give me a few more shots at them. We might be able to get them to come out of themselves. Okay, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah. Knopf singer goes to church here, but he's worthless. Oh. Knopf singer who? So you don't know him? Thanks, bye. Folks, I've taken a couple extra minutes. But listen to me. That is what your life is all about. You're either changing lives for the better or for the worse. Don't just be a mom. Be a life changer. Don't just be a dad. Be a life changer. Don't just be a church member. Be a life changer. Are you a life changer? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved. You'll never become a life changer without salvation. There's some of you need to change your life in regard to your separation in life. You say, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up. Well, fooey on you. It's all about you, isn't it? You will not make an impact on a lost and dying world by acting like them, dressing like them, living like them. You'll make an impact by being like Jesus. Here's the question. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, I am making a conscious, on purpose decision to be a life changer? That's what I want. And you'd let God see your hand. So I want to become a life changer. You may put your hand down. If you need this altar, it will be open. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm not asking you if you want to sing a special. Do you want to be a life changer? Say, I want to stir the mashed potatoes down at the church. I'm glad they need stirred, but that's not enough. Say, I'm a good typist. Good. Be a life changer. Say, I'm a good mechanic on the bus. Good. Become a life changer. Say, I could mop a floor. Good. We need you to do that, but become a life changer. A life changer. I'll promise you, if God was about to snuff you out, and He could, if He was about to snuff you out, but He knew you were going to change and become a life changer, you got a good chance of sparing yourself, because people that change lives are valuable in God's economy. Say, I want to be a leader in the church, then learn to be a soul winner. That's not the position I want. Then you can't have a position with me. Say, I don't see it that way. God does. Other ones, I want to be a preacher someday, then be a life changer. Tell people about Jesus. Touch lives. Make them better. Sunday school teacher, don't just teach a lesson, change lives. Bus workers, bus captains, just don't put people on a bus, change lives. Change lives. Ministry leader, change lives. Musicians, change lives.